many times when I've come here, Rabbi Blazer, Rabbi Singer have always been very kind and have said warm words about me. Just want to tell you how it works both ways. And I'll say it over with a famous shot from the Rebbe of Herschel in last week's Parsha. When the Malachim, after the Malcham of the four kings, when Avram he saves Lot, he saves Sodom, Malki Tzedek comes out. The Pasuk says, Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem, Hoitzi Lechem V'yayin, V'hu Koyin L'Kel Elyon. Malki Tzedek, who's the king of Shalem, the king of what we call Yerushalayim, Hoitzi Lechem V'yayin, he brought out bread and wine, V'hu Koyin L'Kel Elyon, and he was a Koyin to the Lord Most High. Funny, the Shaila is, the sequence of the Pasuk is strange. It starts off by saying, Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. That's what he was the king. Then it goes to what he did. What did this king do? Hoitzi Lechem V'yayin. And then it goes back to who he was. V'hu Koyin L'Kel Elyon. The more appropriate thing arguably could have been, Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. Shehoye Koyin L'Kel Elyon, Hoitzi Lechem V'yayin. Why is it out of order? Why is it in this order? I should have told you the Maisa before. So there's a Maisa to the story. That Rav Meir Mepremezhlan, Rav Meir Mepremezhlan came to Brody. He came to the city of Rav Shlomo Kluger. And they spent time talking together. And Rav Meir Mepremezhlan was from the great Hasidim, of the great Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, but he was a Baal Chesed. He always was there for other people. And you had Rav Shlomo Kluger, who was from the Gaonim. His Sforma, examples of unbelievable pilpul. So you have a big Ben Torah, and you have big Rosh Hashiva, and you have this tremendous tzaddik, this big Baal Chesed. So Rav Meir Mepremezhlan, before they ended, and it was like a strange thing. You normally don't have the two of them mixing, so to speak. Whether I'll just use a Litvak and a Chassid. That's obviously the wrong terms. So Rav Meir Mepremezhlan left the meeting as follows. He said, Vusepis, why taka did Avram Avinu... Why does it say that Malki Tzedek, the king of Shalem, brought up bread and wine and then goes back to who he was? What's the pshat? So he said, because the derech is when two tzaddikim get together, when two gedolim, two great people meet, their goal is to always grow. Their goal is always to improve, to go beyond. So they always look at the other person and see what outstanding qualities the other person has, what the person is unique in, and they try to learn the midos of the other person and incorporate it into their own lives. And that's what happened over here. Avram Avinu over there. Avram was this machnas arach par excellence. He's a Baal Chesed. He's there doing Ben Adam L'Chaveroi, so to speak. Malki Tzedek was the Koyin L'Kel Elyon. He's Malki Tzedek, who is Shem Ben Noyach, says Rashi. He's Yeshiva Shem Ve'Aver. He's the Rosh Yeshiva, sitting, in the base of Medrash, not going out dealing with the people. But over here, that now that you had this tzaddik, this Baal Chesed par excellence, and this Rosh Hashiva par excellence getting together, they both learned one from the other. And this is how he read it. Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem, Malki Tzedek, the king of Yerushalayim, Hoitzi Lechem V'yayim. He took out from Avram Avinu the midah of Lechem V'yayim. And at the Reiskelen, from what Avram Avinu's Hanhaga was, that his Chesed, we also have to be involved with others. You have to have a Bein Adam, so to speak. Vehu, and he, the other one, Avram, Koyin L'Kel Elyon. He, Avram, learned and turned from Malki Tzedek. There's this aspect of Bein Adam L'Makom, of sitting and learning, of focusing on your own growth, on your own, not only there for the other person. That's the pshat that was said. And I think, again, I think it's brought in Chanukah Satorah. But the way the story ended is that Rav Meir Mepremezhlan said, so I'm this big Baal Chesed. Everyone knows me for my tzidkus, my chasadim. You're this great Rosh Hashiva, but when the two of us come together, there's plenty of for me to take from you, and I'm sure you have plenty to take from me. And that's the derech of, that's what people should do. And I just threw this in now, hearing every time, whatever coming here is, it's... I get a lot coming here to see the people learning, the chavershaft, the friendship, people that have been learning. It's nice to see people who've been chavrusas. Not so many people. I think there's a game tonight. But people who have been chavrusas for several years, I've seen every time I come back, same people learning. That's a hush of a thing, and I'm really glad to see it. I have plenty to take from here also. All right, in this parsha...
The number of parsha couldn't have set over from a main problem. So you predate that, right? You're telling to the Maestro.
Right. The Rebbe Herschel predates the Meir Parmeshlan and the Rebbe Kluger.
The Rebbe of Herschel does, you're saying? Yes. Yes. He doesn't write the story there, but I think he says that pshat in Pasuk. You're right. Right. All right, this week's Parsha. The whole Parsha of Avraham at the Malachim. The Parsha of Avraham at the Malachim is full of lessons of Hachnasas Orchim, of Kavod Abrius, of Derech Eretz, how to treat another person. But there also are lessons in the Parsha in Hashkafas Hashem, in how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works the world, in the Midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the way He deals with us for each and everything we do. And I want to bring an instance of this, or an example of this. And also we'll see if we learn a little more. There's a lesson in the Maisa with the Meraglim that will teach us how to approach Shabbos. How, by learning from what Avraham Avinu was trying to teach the Meraglim, we will be able to have a true Einik Shabbos. We will be able to have Menucha on Shabbos and have full comfort in the fact that I don't have to work today and the Rabbanu Shalom takes care of everything. Start, Pasuk says, let's go to the Gemara in Baba Basra. The Gemara says, Avraham Avinu attended to the Malachim in every which way. Says the Gemara, the things that Avraham Avinu did personally, ba'atzmai for the Malachim, what he himself did and went and got for the Malachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave himself, so to speak, to his children in the Midbar. The things that Avraham, or the one thing that Avraham didn't do ba'atzmai, but he gave over to a shliach to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to us al yedei shliach. Namely, says the Gemara, when it came to the bread, the Pasuk says, Avraham says, Va'ekcha pas lechem, I will take pieces of bread or morsels of bread. So Avram's saying, I'm going to go ahead and get the bread. Mita keneged mita. Avram's going to personally get the bread. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, am personally going to rain down mon, you know, our lechem, lechem in Hashemayim, for the yidin in the Midbar. Avraham Avinu, then the Pasuk says, Ve'el habaka rots Avraham. Avraham. He ran to the cattle to get the meat. Since he was the one who personally was involved in getting the meat, Memela HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Psukim say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a wind that carried the slav to us, and we had the slav, we had meat in the Midbar. After they're sitting down, the Pasuk says that Avram was Vehu Omed Aleim Tachos Ha'etz. They were sitting down under the tree, Vehu Omed Aleim. He was standing, he was above them, catering to whatever needs they had. Says the Gemara, in the schus of Avram being on top or over them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Midbar gave us something on top of us, covering us, the Anania covered. Those were things that Avram did personally, Hashem brought personally. But the water, where Avram Avinu said, Yukach no ma'at ma'ayim, let a little water be brought, al yedei shliach, says Rashi. Therefore, we didn't get the water directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was also given to us in the Midbar through a shliach. And Rashi, different than the Gemara, but Rashi noteworthy says, where do we see that the water was given al yedei shliach? Rashi quotes the pasuk in Chukas the second time, not in Bishalach where he spoke to the rock, but in Chukas where Moshe raised up his hand and he hit the rock and he brought out water from the rock. So you see, the water he didn't do personally, we were not given it personally by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So on one hand, a person can look at this and have a feeling that we're describing a chasaron by Avraham Avinu. Avram didn't do it the right way. And in fact, the Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap says, listen to how far he takes this. He says, don't think that by merely giving the act of bringing the water to someone else, no, we were given it through Moshe. And I guess there's less of a hisgalus of Shemayim. It would have been greater, there'd be a bit of greater covet if the water just rains down from Shemayim. It's more than just that. Because since Avram, writes of Chalap, since Avram did not do the mitzvah Bishlei Musa in its entirety, in its fullness, the water was given to us through a shliach Moshe. Since Moshe hit the rock, Moshe wasn't allowed in Eretz Yisrael. Since he was not allowed in Eretz Yisrael, the Bati Mikdashim, that with the base of Migdash that was built, is able to be destroyed. The Gemara says if Moshe would have entered, the base, his construct would never have been destroyed. Once it was destroyed, we went into Golus. Because Avram, you see how chashuv it is to do a mitzvah Bishlei Musa, writes Rav Chalap, because Avram, by not doing it in the best possible life, and not just we didn't get it directly from Hashem, our whole golus, the Churban Bayis, and our golus is a chalik of that lack of doing something Rishlei Musa. Again, so that sounds also could be, that also could be understood as something negative, mitzad of what, mitzad Avram. But the Maral in both Gur Aryeh and in the Chedushim on Shas and Baba Metzia, the Maral says no. The Maral says, don't think that there's anything wrong with what Avram Avinu did, says the Maral, because after all, Avram Avinu only had two hands. He could either only go get water for them to wash their feet, or he can go get meat, go get bread for them, have the food be, start becoming prepared. He can't do both at the same time. Avram Avinu, the Maral points out, for whatever reason Avram chose to delegate the bringing of the water, he'll go ahead and bring the food. And there are many sforim that describe why did Avram choose to bring the food but have the water be delegated. But that Avram didn't do anything wrong is an obvious thing. The Maral even says, as the Gemara says in Baba Basra, that the Torah does not go out, the Torah goes out of its way not to speak in a disparaging way about a behemah tameya, and it will describe it as a behemah that's not tohar. Is the Torah going to go ahead and speak negatively about Avram Avinu over here? So the Maral says there's no chasarin in what Avram Avinu did. He had no choice. You can only do one thing at a time. Yet the Maral says there's a tremendous limud from here. What you learn from here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with us mida keneged mida, which is a positive thing. He gives us, as he says, he is mishaling schar kichut hasa'ara. When we describe that, when we have that expression, that Hashem is bedaktikim tzedikim kichut hasa'ara, we always understand that the word smoke, I've always heard it used in a negative sense, when it comes to an einish. In schar, it's the same way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you exactly what you've gotten, not a hair off. Look, the Hainu, says the Maral, when Avram Avinu offered water to be brought for them, Avram's being a Baal Chesed, he's helping these people. Oh, you're bringing water for them? You're having water brought for them? I'll have water brought for your entire Klal Yisrael. You did an Ayyidei Shliach. Okay, to be done Ayyidei Shliach. That's not a chasarin. You're being kind. Be kind to them. You went ahead and brought the meat by yourself, or brought the bread, or arranged for the bread to be brought on your own. That I'll even do personally. So what you learn from here is not that Avram did anything wrong. It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with us kechut hasa'ara. Everything you got is remembered, is counted, and is going to be repaid. I mean, the Anaf Yosef, I guess, also just finishing up this idea that there's no chasarin by Avram, he says that the reason why the Torah went out of its way to tell us all the details of what Avram did. Yes, we have the lesson, of course, of Emor Ma'at Vaseh Harbeh. He just said Yukach No Ma'at Mayim, and then he went ahead and did a lot. But the Torah could have merely said, and Avram brought a lot of food. Why does the Torah have to go into details of how much flour he tells Sarah to prepare? How many animals? The Torah alludes to how many animals he's bringing. The Torah says he brought chema and chalav. Why does the Torah have to go into all the details about how Avram is catering to them? Says the Anaf Yosef, it's to teach us this lesson of mida keneged mida. You do this, you went above and beyond, you went all the way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, and the Sfarim bring how every little prat of what Avram Avinu did was rewarded in how the water was provided for us, what the water in the midbar tasted like, how the meat was, what the man was. So again, there's a tremendous limit of Hashem, not only for bad, not only for what appears bad, but letoiv, he rewards as you do. Now, let's take the next phrase in that pasuk that I started with. Yukachna ma'at mayim, let a little water be brought, v'rachatzu raglechem, and you shall wash your feet. Everyone knows the famous Rashi, famous Chazal. Why did he tell them to wash their feet? Because he thought they were Arabs who worshipped the dust on their feet, and Avram was mocked but not to bring that, let that dust come into the house. So while Avodah Zarah to begin with is something that we really don't understand, certainly after the Chachamim were mevatel the Kayach, the Yetzahara for Avodah Zarah, but to worship dirt on your feet seems to be taking this Mishagas to a new level. Who in the world is going to worship dust on your feet? Where does that come from? That's funny. The Maral says, don't ask why would they do Azam Mishagas of worshipping the dust on your feet? Because all of it is ours Mishagas. And he brings Lamashal in Malachim Beis, we find Baal Zavuv. There was the Lord of the Flies. There was an Avodah Zarah where they worshipped a fly. What's normal about that? That's also Mishagas. Says the Maral, you don't have to ask, for we don't need Hezbeirim and why they're doing Mishugan Azachin, because they do Mishugan Azachin. But so what taka is it? What is the value? Or why would they worship the dust on their feet? So there's one main thing I want to say, which is what I'll focus on the rest of the time I have. But one small pshat that Sfarim say is, I think it's in the Hamasifta Gemara, they bring someone. Might be the Ai that says this. There's something special about dirt, which is the reason why they worship the dirt. The dirt, connection to dirt allows a person to do magic, allows for witchcraft, for kishuf. There's a famous Gemara, and there's a tragic Gemara story, and the Gemara brings it in Sanhedrin, by Shimon ben Shetach, that there were 80 witches, and they were causing terrible problems, they wanted to get rid of them, so he took 80 Talmidim, and he told them, when we get into their coven, when we get into their room, you should pick them off of the ground quickly and tie them up in the bag, keep their feet off of the ground, because as long as they're connected to the earth, they're able to do their magic, so to speak. They're able to have kishuf can be done. Point is, earth, dirt, connection to Mother Earth, perhaps, that enables a person to have a certain kaichas, that's taka something to worship. I mean, that's the whole Wiccan religion, witchcraft religion, and this has nothing to do with the upcoming Halloween. I don't know if that's related to that at all. That's something where they worship Mother Earth, because everything comes from, as the Maharal says, everything comes from the earth, everything's going to the earth, it's the source of everything. That's why they would, let's say, worship it. That's one hesber, that's for him say.
Is a connection to dirt or the dust?
I hear.
If there was dust still on their feet, and it wouldn't help anything, it would come off the ground.
I don't know. Okay, I don't know. So what is it about, more accurately, not the dirt, the dust, the avak shibur aglam? Why are they worshipping that? So there's a sefer, Nachlas Chamisha, from Rav Chaim Moshe Gostinsky, who writes in the name of his father-in-law, Rav Chaim Yaakov Blum, following idea. He doesn't bring the Maisa with the Barditchiver. It's a Maisa, the Barditchiver was, I guess, in Barditchiver. He was in the market, and he saw Yid running down the street somewhere. He said, Rav Yid, where are you running? Where are you running? He says, I'm running to my Parnassa. He says, Rabbi, how do you know your Parnassa is that way and you're running towards your Parnassa? Maybe your Parnassa is behind you and you're running away from your Parnassa. In other words, a person who's supremely confident, a person who thinks, I know the art of the deal, I know how to make business, I know when to hit the guy, when he's going to leave his 3-martini lunch and he's in the best mood and I can, try and sell something to him. A person who thinks, it's kaych, it's my ability, it's my talents, it's my hishtadlus, it's me pounding the pavement that's going to make me be successful. That's a person who's losing sight of the fact that notwithstanding that you need hishtadlus, but that's a person who's thinking, I'm the one who does it. He's thinking, he's not thinking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is enabling him to go ahead and be successful. So the mashal, if you have a door-to-door salesman might feel that he has to wear out 3 pairs of shoes in a season, he has to knock on 50 doors in a day, he has to make 100 cold calls every afternoon, or else he won't be matzliach, because I have to do it. I'm not going to, a person who does that, a person who, I'm going here and I'm going to chop him and I know where to close the deal, that's a person who's losing sight of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's a person who's, in a sense, worshipping himself. He's worshipping his abilities, his yechayilis. It's the kaychi va'aitzim yodi asali as a chaylazeh. Says Rav Blum, these were Arbaim, these were Arabs, that the Gemara uses that expression in connection with soichrim, or merchants, people that sell things. They were door-to-door salesmen, and they would worship the dust on their feet, meaning the result of their effort, pounding the pavement, going up and down, running here and there, and their shoes got scuffed and worn out, and the hems, the cuffs of their pants got dirty, and their feet got dust, Their feet got dust on them. That dust is all a reflection of, it's the reflection of my avoida, my input, what I did. Without that, I wouldn't have been successful. They worshiped the dust on their feet. They felt, I am the one who did it. And that's what Avraham Avinu wanted to dispel from them. Avraham Avinu wanted to break from them this feeling that it's HaKadosh, that you're the one who does it, and the result and the dirty feet is just the simon. Oh, you had a good, you obviously put in a good day, and you're gonna make do well this week. He wanted to dispel them of that, and he tells them, sit under the tree. Have a different view of things. Understand that there's a Boire, there's a creator who gives us the ability to be successful. Lasses Choyel. What's the result? What happened when Avraham, we got a mitzvah. Avraham told them, he said, Yukafna ma'at mayim, virachatzu regleichem, get rid of this avodah zarah, get rid of this worship of self, as Rav Blum says it. I should say one, the Reish Rav, Rav Aaron Levin, he says the same word. The Reish Rav says, this is what Avraham wanted to break from the Malachim, this, or these Arabs, this feeling of, my effort got it. And that's why he said something interesting, Yukachna ma'at mayim. By the flour, the Torah says he 3 measures of flour, plenty of flour. The animals, he took an animal per person. He brought chamer, he brought chalav. Why when it comes to the water, is it yukachna ma'at mayim? Is he jaloving the water? So I did see in the Yalkut Lekach Toiv, he brings a pshat, like Rashi says, the water was not being brought by himself. He was delegating the water to someone else. To go ahead and tell someone else, bring in a lot of water, Avraham wouldn't do it. Schlepping the animals, schlepping the bread, the flour, it's my effort. I'm not going to be nice to myself. I don't mind putting the burden on myself. But when it comes to having my servants or other people do it, yukachna ma'at mayim. And this is reminiscent of the Meister. They bring different versions of the Saul Salanter. He was walking with someone else in one of the alleys, one of the small streets in Vilna, and they came in for mincha, and he didn't want to use a lot of water for the mayim, that for the tila before Suda. And a famous story, different versions of it. They say it by the Chavetz Chaim, by Bissol Salanter. That's the reason why Avraham didn't want to have a lot of water be brought. But the Reish Rav says, Vusep is a little water, yukachna ma'at mayim, because just like by water, a little bit of water goes a long way. All you need is a revius to be makadosh your hands, to be matahar your hands. All you need is a revius to rinse things off. So too with Parnassa. He was trying to tell them, don't worship, don't get away from this self-worship, this worship of self, of your hishtadlus is what gets it for you. I got my feet dirty today, I'm going to be successful. A little bit of water goes a long way. A little bit of Parnassa, a little bit of hishtadlus also goes a long way. You might not have to run all the way around town wearing out your shoes and getting your feet dirty in order to get your Parnassa. Walking out the door this morning, you might have bumped into the person who would have been your biggest sale all week. So just like by water, a little bit is all you need. When it comes to Ishtadus, some people, their Ishtadus must be more. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fears it, but don't think that you're the one who goes ahead and does it. What did Avraham get? What did Klal Yisrael get out of Avram's chesed? His trying to dispel from the malachim this attitude of koichi reitzim yadi. I did it. My effort. My dirt on my feet. That's my effort. We got the mitzvah of sukkah. Medrash says in the schus of Avraham saying, yukachna ma'at mayim v'rachatzu ra'aglechem v'hishanu tachas ha'etz. Since Avraham gave them comfort under the tree, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us sukkahs in the midbar. What's the kesher between the two? Sukkot is during the Chag HaOsif. It's the harvest festival. It's when the main bulk of your crops and your earnings, your bank account is highest after Sukkot. A person can start thinking, I don't have to worry about anything. I have all this money saved up. I can forget about a Kadosh Baruch Hu to some extent. Says the Torah, leave your home. Go into a dearest keva. Go into a temporary thing. Sit under the stars and reflect on where it really comes from. It's the perfect reward for what Avraham Avinu was doing. Avraham wanted to dispel from them this feeling of the effort you put in, the dirt of your feet got you this. Sit in a sukkah. That's the healthiest way to overcome that attitude. Gemara says, person who's Shomer Shabbos Kehilchosai, person who truly keeps Shabbos, even if he did Avodah Zarah, like in the time of Enosh, Meichlin Lai. What's the Hesber? Why is Shabbos a cure, a tikkun for this? So again, this Rav Blum in the Sefer Nachas Chamisha says, because again, there's obviously more than one. Avodah Zarah can mean more than one thing. But if Avodah Zarah means this, Avodah Zarah, that they were mishtachven la'avak sherab sheberagleim, that they felt they're the ones who did it, that the tikkun for that is Shabbos. A person who believes I'm the one who did it, he worships himself. It's not theocentric with a Kaddish Baruch in the middle, in the center of things. He's egocentric. I'm the one who did it. The tikkun for that is Shabbos, because Shabbos is the time where you realize the panos is not, obviously not for me, that I take a day off of my work and I still somehow survive. That is a training ground. That's an opportunity for us to see b'poil that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who does it. The best tikkun for a person who's Ovid Avodah Zarah, who worships the dust on his feet, if you worship Shomer Shabbos, that can cure you of that mentality. Goes a step further. The Gemara says in Brachas that a person should not go p'siya gasa. It says anyone who goes p'siya gasa, he takes large steps, he loses 1/500th of the ma'orah shema einav. He loses 1/500th of his eyesight. What's the cure, says the Gemara? The cure is the Havdalah, not the Havdalah, the Kiddush Friday night. What's the kesher? He walks with big steps, he loses his eyesight. Who walks with big steps? Maybe it's reminiscent of this maaseh with the Bar Ditshever, the guy who's running down the street in the shuk. I'm running after my parnasa, like it's the guy who knows I have to go here to make a deal, or else. That person, says the Gemara, if you go b'psia gasa, you're running and you think you're blindly, I shouldn't use the word blindly yet, you're running thinking that's where to go, you lose some of your vision, your clarity, your the attitude that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who runs the world is lost from you to some extent. What's the tikkun for that? The Kiddush Friday night. By Kiddush, by saying the words of Kiddush, by having the Shabbos, which is Meichel on this type of Avodah Zarah, if that's the pshat, that's the best tikkun for this Psia Gatsa, the person who thinks, I just have to do what I have to do and I'm going to go ahead and get it. You see, if you take a look at the psukim by Shabbos, see how important this is. There's the Rav Shlomo Gansfried, the mechaber of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. He has a sefer on Chumash, a Pirion Osali, sefer a Pirion, people call it. He has a beautiful Moridik Pshat. The psukim by Shabbos, the psukim say in Vayakal, it says, Sheshes Yomim Teyosim Elocha, six days. I'm going to see if I can trick you. Sheshes yomim teyasim alocha. 6 days you should do work. Uvayom hashvi, and on the seventh day, it should say, you don't do work. Work for 6 days, don't work for the seventh day. It doesn't say that. It says, sheshes yomim teyasim alocha. 6 days work will be done. Uvayom hashvi kodesh. The seventh day is kodesh. Shabbos shabbosin l'Hashem. A day of rest to Hashem. Two kashas. Why, the main thrust of the pasuk ought to be, don't do malach on the seventh day. Work 6 days, don't work on the seventh day. Why doesn't the pasuk say the main thing of don't work on the seventh day? It only talks about work on the sixth day. But it doesn't even say work on the sixth day. It doesn't say, sheshes yomim tasim malach, you shall do work during those 6 days. It says, sheshes yomim teasim malach. In 6 days, the work is done. What's the Torah trying to tell us over here? Says Shlomo Gansfried. Only a person who has true trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only a person who knows that it's not his hishtadlus that gets him his parnasa, only a person who knows that during the 6 days of the work week, whatever I do, I need my hishtadlus, but the result is not directly because of my hishtadlus. There is the boirei olam involved also. Only a person who realizes that can truly rest on the seventh day. Because if you have a person who thinks, I have to work every day or else, then if I don't do it, no one can do it like me, and I have to get up early in the morning and miss my tefillah or not do the mitzvahs I'm supposed to do because I have to earn my living and I know how to do it the best way. If you have a person who thinks only he knows how to do it, it's the kaychiv ha'itzim yadi, that's a person who comes Shabbos isn't able to relax. Because just like he thinks that during those 6 days you need his avoida, without my avoida, Hashem's not giving it to me, I need to do it. So then on the seventh day when he takes off, he's going to be platzing. Like, how can I take off? If during the week he knows it's only because of my work, on the seventh day, why should he have any menucha? A person who really believes that sheishes yomim te'aseh malacha, work is done in 6 days. That whatever you've done this week, there is no more work to be done. Everything that needed to be done was done. Sheishes yomim te'aseh malacha, the work is done because you didn't put in a full week. You had to go and learn with your son one night and help him for a bechina, and you couldn't, you know, make a few business calls. If you realize sheishes yomim te'aseh malacha, all I had to do, I was doing what I had to do. I had to take time off of work. That's what I had to do also. And I don't have any regrets. That's a person who Yom HaShvi'i Kodesh. For him, Yom HaShvi'i Kataka be a holy day. And it can be a Shabbos Shabbos in Lashem. Because a person who knows that it's not my effort, and whatever I did, that's going to be enough. If that's what the Rabbanu Shel Olam wants, then I'm able to be Menucha, take off a day of Shabbos and not feel that I'm losing out on anything, because I know even during the week when I don't take off, even during the week when I'm working, it's only because of the Rabbanu Shel Olam. So certainly on Shabbos when he tells me not to work, I'm not going to suffer from this in any which way. And that the Ostrovtsa, Rabbi Chiel Michal Halevi, the Ostrovtsa Chiel Michal Halevi, the Ostrovtsa says a very nice pshat. Why there's a minig in Yisrael to have fish on Shabbos. What's up is fish. Where does dog come from? So he says, if you have a fish tank, you always see the bigger fish is running after the smaller fish. It's on its tail. It's always nipping at the tail. And you imagine that if the bigger fish is taka big enough and fast enough, and he really propels himself, he can chop the fish in front of him. It's hard to see in your fish tank. But if you ever go fishing and you open up a big fish, with a small fish it's maybe not easy to see, but if you open up heavy fish, there very often are fish inside. Whole fish inside that haven't been digested that were caught by the bigger fish. Makes sense. They're always going after the smaller one. But if you look inside, they never are facing the same direction. If the big fish has its head here and its tail over here, you would imagine that the head of the tail of the smaller fish is also here and the head is here. It's running after it, it's nipping at its tail, and it swallowed it. But that's never how you're going to go ahead and find it. If anything, in fact, if you find it that way, if the bigger fish will swallow the larger fish from the rear, from behind, the fins of the smaller fish will pierce, stab, and perhaps kill the larger fish. Always what happens is, always, that's what he writes, it's always the smaller fish is facing, they're face to face. They're always facing one another. In other words, the large fish that was going after fish number A, nipping at its tail, he never catches fish number A. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mazman, Hashem prepared fish B to go into its mouth without the first fish even realizing it. I'm going after this fish with my mouth open, just in comes from the side another fish. Fish then is the perfect lesson, the perfect teaching tool for what Shabbos is. What you go ahead, we think that I have to do this and I have to do that, and that's the only way to go ahead and make my parnasa. Shabbos is the time when we realize I don't have to do the work. The work will be done as long as I did what I have to do. Learn that lesson from the fish, because as you see from the fish, what it was trying to get, it didn't get. And actually, if it would have gotten what it tried to get, it might have hurt itself. Sometimes times we think that this deal is, oh, if I only make this deal, it'll be great, and I'll support this and that, and I can go back and learn. Sometimes what we think is the best deal, and if I can only catch up, if I can only catch it, might be our own undoing, might be a harmful thing, like the fish that's trying to catch the smaller fish in front of it. But again, this lesson, or this side of learning from there, it's not kaychei v'itzim yadi. It's not the dirt on my feet that got it. It's exactly what I wasn't even aiming at. That's what ended up being my parnasa. Related to this, there's a pshat from Simcha Bunim Seifer. I explained something by Yaakov. When Yaakov in Parshas Vayetze, he went to sleep that night in the Makam HaMikdash. He gets up in the morning and he realizes where it was. Av Yaakov Avinu makes a neder. And he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you will give me lechem lechol ubeged lilvosh, if you'll give me my needs, I will serve you and I will give ma'aser from everything I have. Says the Medrash. So Yaakov was asking for two things. Lechem lechol ubeged lilvosh. Medrash Rabbah says that when Avram wanted lechem, he wanted challah. The Matnas Kahuna, the gift that you give to Kahanim, Chala. And when it says he wanted Beged Lilvush, he wanted the fibers of Rashis Hagez, the shearings of the first animal that you give to the Kohen also. So Avram asked, Lechem Lechel, Beged Lilvush, I want payment for Matnas Kahuna. So first, is Yaakov even a Kohen who's entitled to it? And if he doesn't get Matnas Kahuna, if he only gets, bread from a Stama bakery, not the challah from the Kohen, not the challah given to the Kohen, is he not going to Aset HaSrenia? Why is Yaakov making his commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu conditional on getting Matnas Kahuna? Rav Simcha Bunim Seifer says, because Yaakov knew how scary a world we live in. He's leaving now the 14 years by base Aver. He's going to Lavan. He has the avtocha from his father. You're going to be wealthy. And Yaakov Avinu knows that when a person's wealthy, when a person is successful, there can be this attitude of to protect himself from that. He said, "I want to get paid. I want what I get." Avada Yaakov's not getting Matnas Kahuna, but I want whatever I get, the bread I get, it should be like Matnas. It should be like challah. The clothing I get, it should be like Rashis Hagez. Because if one person doesn't deserve what he got, it's a Kohen. They're Matnas Kahuna. The Kohen exhibited no industriousness, no effort to make the wool, to make the challah. He was given it as a gift. That's a person. A Kohen is the person who's not going to think, "Ah, look at the beautiful meal that I prepared today." He knows it was given to him deservedly through the Yisrael from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov wanted that everything he has, whatever parnasa, whatever revach that he will be given in life, he should view it no differently than Matnas Kahuna, where he realizes it's great and I have a lot and I can do a lot with it. Wonderful. That's the bracha of Yitzchak to Yaakov that came from Avraham Avinu, but it's not something that I can let go to my head. It has to be remain, I have to have always the attitude that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives us the koyach to wage war. And I guess it's nothing negay of the parsha about this inyan of koyachiv ha'aytzim yadi. I just must share with you a line my father once told me. Koyachiv ha'aytzim yadi is Rosh HaTevis Chaf Vav Yud. Chaf Koyachiv ha'aytzim yadi. Chaf Vav Yud. Chaf Vav Yud spells Kvi or Koi. Kvi is this behemoth, this animal the Gemara talks about, a kvi or koi, I don't know how they pronounce it in it's a suffolk chaya, a suffolk behemoth. It's a kvi, is a suffolk chaya, a suffolk behemoth. We give it the dinim of both, l'chumra. Pshat is, if a person says, koi chiv oitzim yadi, icha b'skatun, look what I did, he's a kvi. He says, maybe he's a chaya, after he's a behemoth, a bramen shavad is anisht. Thank you.